Hey, yo.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Greg DeMarco Show.
There's a lot of things I like, and I like the Greg DeMarco Show.
Greg DeMarco, I love you.
Really?
This is Leigh Ann Marie, and I just wanted to say that I love Patrick O'Dowd.
We all love Greg DeMarco.
Really?
I like Greg DeMarco.
Sometimes, at night, we spoon.
Anybody got time for that?
No, Greg. No, Greg. I'm serious. I love you.
Don't do it like that, baby.
Patrick, is someone talking about you gotta go to bed, huh?
And I love you, Greg.
Damn!
We all love Greg DeMarco. We got Emma Patrick and Bell. Greg DeMarco, I love you.
Oh, you guys are so adorable.
That's gonna be a soundbite right there.
You're welcome!
This is the Perfect 10, Scarlett Bordeaux, and you're listening to the Greg DeMarco Show, the only show, the best show, on the web.
Damn!
Oh boy, we are live. It is time for the Greg DeMarco Show. If you're listening live, we wish you a happy Tuesday evening. If you're listening on demand, well, we wish you a happy whatever it may be for you. As you might have guessed, my name is Greg DeMarco. You can find me on the Twitter at ChairShotGreg. This is the Greg DeMarco Show. It is presented live every Tuesday night. It is also streaming live anytime, or not really live, but streaming anytime, all the time, on demand, over at The Chair Shot.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And you can find us at TheChairShot.com, of course. You can also listen along with us live. It is, if you're not listening on Tuesdays, tune in on a Tuesday. Call in. We may not take your call, but you're always welcome to call in to the show. Of course, you can visit TheChairShot for the hardest-hitting news, reviews, opinions, and analysis. We do it all with attitude. You can even head on over to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Get yourself an Always Use Your Head t-shirt or a ChairShot logo t-shirt as well, at TheChairShot.com, on the Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram as well. Last week, if you tuned in, of course, you heard me hanging out with good old Steve Cook, because Patrick O'Dowd had to work the real job, and that's, of course, not always fun for him, but we are supportive. However, that's not what we're looking at this week. Nope. I'm going to scroll through and find his theme song, and then I'm going to play it for him, and then we'll bring him on. But I am just hitting the point now where I've just got two many darn pieces of music.
FABULOUS.
Welcome back.
It's good to be back.
Yeah, it's good to have you here. You know, it was always a busy time, and you know, you've got to work. August sucks for you, and so
yeah, it's the worst.
We got to talk about what?
Like the next 2 weeks, because I'm thinking you might need Steve Cook again. Spoiler alert.
Oh, we'll figure it out.
I know.
I'll bribe Denise, and she'll have something much better than this to do, and she won't be able to do it. But that's okay.
Valid.
That's what happens. By the way, the wrestling realist Patrick O'Dowd this week just so happens to be the Charlotte Flair Lynch. I forgot that part before I
did.
Before I brought
you
on. I did. I'm so excited that you're here. And then, of course, you had to tell me
so
on
sweet.
Air that you're probably going to miss the next 2 weeks. So that's what friends do.
It is. I mean, we've been doing this show for how long now? I feel like, you know, our audience deserves to know when I'm going to just drop, you know, absence bombs on you.
Yeah.
You know, hiatus, if you will.
You've been you've been here and you've worked your way up. And
this is my yard now.
It's still not your yard. It's mine, but that is,
I mean,
okay.
I've worked my way from being the original co-host to still being your co-host.
Way to go, you.
It's been a journey.
You should be really, really proud. The hero's journey.
I've worked my way up to middle management.
That's right. The hero's journey. I'm really proud of you. By the way, speaking of proud of you, the real star of this week's show.
Dead man walking.
Keep rolling, 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 rolling. Keep rolling, 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 rolling.
Would you shut the hell up?
That is, of course, the Carmella 2 Hour, Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch, Denise Salcedo. Denise, welcome back.
Hey, everyone. Hey, Greg, and hey, Patrick. I'm super excited to be back on. I feel like it's been forever, and I think this is like my third show, so I kind of feel like a chair shot professional now on the Greg DeMarco show.
I think it might even be more than three. I think it might be number, I don't know, it might be four. Who knows? You were a professional before ever stepping foot in the building. Like, you raise our game. You do shows that people actually listen to on a regular basis. Yeah. We're dragging you down. We're dragging you down.
No, I enjoy coming on your guys' show. It's a lot of fun.
Well, we enjoy having you on here. And who knows? I might hit you up, apparently, because now apparently Patrick can't be here the next 2 weeks. So,
start paying me. I don't know. My salary? Like, I'm just saying, man. Charity case.
No, it's okay. It's totally fine.
You know this. You lived that.
I do know. I did live it. There's a list of people that as the chair shot grows, we want to eventually make sure that they get something for their output. And there is that list of people.
You ain't on the list, bro.
Yes, sorry. So that's that. But more importantly, Denise, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing pretty awesome. You know, just kind of keep busy. Been somewhat all over the place trying to get things going on the YouTube channel and whatnot. So just a little bit of everything.
You are, of course, at _ Denise Salcedo on the Twitter. What is the YouTube channel so people can find it?
Oh, it's youtube.com/Denise Salcedo. So, like, literally everything's my name. Even though my actual YouTube, it's Instinct Culture by Denise Salcedo. But the URL is youtube.com/Denise Salcedo. So you can just check it out there. Go to YouTube, find it there, and you can check out all the cool stuff and whatnot.
And, of course, I'm not going to ask Patrick O'Dowd to share his Twitter handle because he'll lose followers if he does it. He is at Wrestling Realist. That's WrestlingRealist. As he would explain to you, there's no I in the first part, but there is an I in the second part. Carry the four, and you're good to go. So that's Patrick O'Dowd's Twitter handle. Go follow him.
Boy, you're just all sorts of butthurt over me, like, having to miss a couple of shows, man. You're going to go after me hard today.
Why not?
Yeah, I can see that. No, it's all right. You know, it's cool.
Now, it is time for the song of the week.
My child will starve on the street, you know, but that's the only one.
Did I have to mute you? No one cares about your child, except you and me. And
stop.
We all care. By the way, lest we remind everyone, the very first time, or the second time, or maybe the third, I don't know, Denise was on here, this was a song Patrick
did. Oh, here she comes. She's my leader.
So, insulting the guest, as only he can do. However, this song, so Patrick
Hollow
picked
Notes
the song
is never
this
an
week.
Insult.
No, that's not an insult at all. Are you kidding me? That's a compliment. Patrick did pick the song this week, so prepare to be educated as to why Patrick selected this.
Thank you.
All right, Patrick, so educate us all. Why did you select that song?
Oh, there's a couple of reasons. One, everybody deserves to have Earth, Wind, and Fire in their life a little more often. Look them up, kids. They're amazing. But two, oddly enough, we were talking about August. August is like the worst month ever in my field. I work in higher education. And we basically target September. And so you're like, think of a song that was old school, because I didn't go old school the first time. And I was like, well, this is about the only other thing on my mind. I got to get to September 3rd. Give me to September 3rd.
When that song was released, by the way, only one of us three was even in existence, and that was, of course, then me. Otherwise, it'd be really strange.
Right.
So,
right.
1978, the Earth, Wind, and Fire September came out. So,
I mean, I might have been around in 78. I was born in 78.
That's true, depending on when this was released. If it was released, if it was released in September, at which point you would have been out. So,
right.
That is true. I had no idea that was the name of the song.
Really?
I didn't know that. Yeah, not until today. I knew of the song, and I had no idea until I actually started playing the song. Denise, did you know that was the name of the song? Have you ever heard that song before?
No, I didn't even know the name of the song, who sang it. I know I had heard it in passing, but like way in over my head. I was like, oh, yeah, I've heard the song a few times.
Yeah, it's the same way I was, too. I pulled it up on the YouTube before I, stole it off YouTube, because that's what we do here. And I was like, oh. That's the name of this song. So there we go. That is the song of the week from Patrick O'Dowd. Last week, I don't think Patrick ever listened to last week's show.
Nope.
And the reason why is because... What's that? Not even going to pretend you did?
Not even pretend it did.
Because I made a huge error last week, the type that Patrick O'Dowd would have texted me on and yelled at me for. As last week's song of the week, I completely blew it during the show. Knew ahead of time, knew after the fact, but during the hour and a half that Steve Cook and I were doing the show, I said that the song was by Pat Benatar. It wasn't. It's not by Pat Benatar. The song last week was, of course, by Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. And as soon as I find it, I will go ahead and play it because we'll play a little game. I wanna walk, but I come back to you. That's why I hate myself for loving you. I completely whiffed that one. You would have been so proud, Patrick. So proud.
It happens to all of us.
Yeah, that was a bad one, though. That was not.
I mean, it's a fundamental error, but then again, you've heard of Earth, Wind, and Fire. Denise hasn't, so we've already got problems.
She's got a much better excuse than we did.
So, educate yourself on music? What?
She's 17 years old, Patrick O'Dowd.
That's all right. I knew about Earth, Wind, and Fire when I was 17. What? What's the problem here?
I don't think I did. Not when I was 17.
Yeah. I also knew about Guns N' Roses when I was 17. I'm just saying.
That's true.
You know?
I knew Guns. Denise, by the way, not 17 years old. Denise is older than 17.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'm not 17. I'm 92 is my year. 92.
Just stop.
Oh, man, wow.
92.
That's you guys is like hope. 92, I feel like, yeah.
Okay. Hey, that's totally fine. 92. That's great.
Were you like a sophomore in high school, Greg?
I was a sophomore in high school. Actually.
Yeah, I was a freshman, so that's how I know.
That would make sense. Yep. Yeah, I was definitely. Thanks to
you. You're welcome.
That's amazing. So, but anyway, we played a little game with "I Hate Myself for Loving You" last week, and we're gonna revive it this week. So, what is one thing you absolutely hate yourself for loving in the world of professional wrestling? And I'll give you an example. Last week, my answer was Glacier. When I saw all of the vignettes and everything for Glacier in WCW, I was so excited as a Mortal Kombat fan. I thought this was going to be the greatest thing ever. Of course, it was dead before he ever came out. And so I went with Glacier. And of course, Steve Cook actually copped out and went with the whole Scarlet Bordeaux thing. That was the first topic of the show. I don't think he wanted to think of anything. So, in fact, I think he actually admitted that. So, That's what he picked, and so that's fine. It was a launching pad for our topic. But I want the two of you to have the opportunity to share, because SummerSlam can wait. We'll talk about SummerSlam soon. That's fine. This is more fun. What is something you hate yourself for loving? Denise, we'll let you do the honors, and ladies first here, and go first. What is the one thing?
I feel like I'm going to give an answer now, and then, like, 2 days from now, I'll be like, oh, I should have said that, you know? Like, I'm thinking about, like, why did I say that? So, I don't know. I feel like in terms of an actual, like, thing that in wrestling, I would say it's, like, I absolutely love blood. And when, you know, we get the scene, when we get matches where there's tons of blood, but I almost feel like I shouldn't. Like, it's one of those things where I'm like, oh, I love it when there's blood in the match, but then at the same time I'm like, oh, where exactly are my priorities if I actually really enjoy seeing blood in a match? So I kind of feel like I should hate myself for loving that, but at the same time I'm not really sure, but I'm gonna go with that little thing for now.
I think that qualifies 100% just because of the way you feel about it. Like, you aren't so sure if you should love this, and so you feel bad. So that does make complete sense. It counts. It definitely counts.
Yay, I pass.
You do pass, yes. Whatever you gain from passing, you have passed. Patrick O'Dowd, what do you hate yourself for loving?
I think you're going to like this one. So,
okay.
1992,
the year
Denise
was born.
Yeah, a familiar face was repackaged into a new character. He maintained his name, but changed his look and went from being known as Crush from Demolition to Kona Crush, a Hawaiian, like, bleach blonde, colorful, weird surfer dude type.
Supposed to be the next Hogan when that happened.
I love Kona Crush. It's really? So embarrassing. Like, it's like embarrassing. Like, oh, I loved Kona Crush. Like the head squeeze thing. Like, when he would finish, like, we'd do the head squeeze and he'd pick him up and he'd drop him on the mat, like, and sit him down and, like, squeeze him. And then that was the submission because he'd pass out and all that. Like, totally behind Kona. And like, I think he feuded with the Repo Man at the time, which the irony there. Like, he can't, you know, Adam Pearce was working. No, I'm just kidding. Kona Crush. It's at least with Glacier, like, there was something cool as to it. Kona Crush was, like, I watch it now and I'm like, man, like,
yeah, it was bad.
Like, of all of Bryan Adams, like, things, because, like,
which
Bryan
there were
Adams,
many.
Yes, like, a lot of iterations of just even Crush.
Yeah.
But Kona Crush, like, he did vignettes where he was, like, breaking coconuts with his hands and stuff. Like, it was so bad. But I loved it.
Well, you talk about the irony of him feuding with
right.
Repo Man. Of course, being that they were tag team partners in Demolition.
Right.
Which
exactly.
was never acknowledged when they were feuding.
Yes.
Nope, why would that
not
be?
At all. Totally different guys.
So last week I talked about Glacier, but I will go again this week. This could almost be a weekly thing because we like so many things that are – or we can kind
of
change it
a
little bit.
There.
You know, yeah, a lot of it that we actually loved. This kind of goes back a ways into the world of WCW and Thunder. I, for some crazy reason, got really excited. I went through this phase of my life where, for some stupid reason, I don't know why, I guess it, you know, some people would say it's great, some people would say it's really stupid, I don't know, but there was this short period of time where I was just enamored with anything that Kiss did and any music that Kiss put out.
No, you did not.
And so, you know, and I went back in some of the old stuff, and I still love, you know, a few songs. And I even had a cassette tape. Didn't he say he used to make these little tapes that you would put into a recorder and you would listen to them? Okay, good. And for some crazy reason, around this same time, I was more closely following along with Kiss. WCW decides to introduce the Kiss Demon. And I was like, this is going to be amazing. Now, the moment after I saw it, I immediately realized, whoa, I think I immediately hated myself for that one because He looked like a big star. He was going to be a big star. Of course, wasn't a big star at all. And it's funny to hear Eric Bischoff talk about why they did this and the plans that were in place for it. Obviously, never happened. But it was, really interesting. So I was a fan of the Kiss Demon, believe it or not, for a short period of time, and then immediately hated myself for it, which is kind of the point. So here we go. This really could become a thing, a weekly thing of what we hate ourselves for loving. There's So if Denise joins us again in the next 2 weeks, and I'm not going to ask Denise yes or no now because I can't stand more than one rejection in the same program, then, we'll wait it out. But plus, Denise may not know her schedule. I don't know if you know this, Patrick. She's busy for better
reasons. She's got, a life and stuff.
It's a career. That's important.
She gets to do the things we only dream about in regards to, meeting wrestlers and stuff, and, interviewing people and, doing podcasts.
Yeah.
Miss
so
Red Carpet over here.
Last time.
What's
that? Okay.
I was like, I'm so sorry. I was like, I hope he can hear my sorriness in this text message.
Mm-hmm. But see, here's the thing about that. I did, right? Yeah, I cried. I just dried the last tear right before we went on air.
Right.
No, the best part is that you said that, and there are literally people sitting in their basement right now upset that I can text you and they can't. So it's okay. It's just the way the wrestling world works. So Jim Ross, by the way, in the last edition of his show, completely slammed anybody who writes about wrestling online. So I haven't heard it. So I can't say anything yet, but I've heard about it from multiple people. Apparently it's good. So I'm going to have to give that a listen at some point soon. I stopped listening to a show just because I just can't. I don't know. I'll explain later, but I just can't listen to it anymore. So
it's not a problem.
However, that's right. We're going to talk about SummerSlam because SummerSlam is coming up this weekend, and it is the biggest party of the summer, as WWE would have you think. And we've got a good 13 matches to do our traditional who should win and who will win here shortly. But before we get there, I want to talk about the build because I don't want to give away my thoughts on the build. But what do we think about the build so far? Denise, how do you feel about the build for the 2018 rendition of SummerSlam?
First of all, I think that the show has way too many matches on the card. When I was actually sitting down and looking at all the matches, I was like, this is going to be a long, long show, which obviously is the new thing now. But I could definitely do without a few of these matches, to tell you the truth. I could go for a shorter show, but, it is what it is. But overall, in terms of the build, I think that obviously the most talked about and one of the best ones for right now is definitely the Brock Lesnar Roman Reigns. And I feel like every week after Raw, what are we talking about? Brock Lesnar Roman Reigns. That is the thing that everybody's talking about. So clearly, I think that out of all the matches, it's had the best build. I mean, yeah, obviously, you also have the Daniel Bryan and the Miz match. That also had a decent build. But overall, that's really it. Everything else, to me, has kind of just, fallen into place.
Yeah, it is crazy. We got 13 matches on the card, and it's, 10 on the quote-unquote main card and 3 on the kickoff. So it's a big card, but it is kind of the WrestleMania of the summer. And so but it feels like a lot of matches. Patrick will tell you, I'm a fan of less matches. I really am.
That's true.
I'm lucky enough to get to book, wrestling, by the way, people, Sonoran Championship Wrestling this Friday at the Nile Theater in Mesa, Arizona. You should go check it out. I like matches that are, six cards that are 6-7 matches long and give the matches an opportunity to tell their story. And while these matches do usually get an opportunity, it's just because the card's so damn long. It's just going to be, and we're going to have to another level, amount of complaining. Because SummerSlam should be one of those, probably a 2-hour kickoff, 4.5, 5-hour long show. It's going to be basically a full shift at a regular job is what SummerSlam is going to be for anybody working it and covering it and all that.
And I do think it shows a lot of times, like, these longer cards with all these matches becomes kind of a slog, like, for the fans, like, and for the audience. Like, it's exhausting to try and stay up for 8 hours of wrestling. Like, and I mean, Greg, you and I both know, like, we've done that sort of thing. Of course, we drove to two different shows through, like, multiple states to do it. But, like to sit down for, you know, maybe not sit down, but to do that for 13 matches, what I can already see it on Twitter, because the Twitterverse is awesome. They're going to be, you know, talking about the crowd at the beginning of the show, but then about halfway through, people are going to start talking about how the crowd is dead. We can't believe the crowd is dead for a pick match that everybody should love. You know, like the Miz and Daniel Bryan. Crowd is dead for Miz and Daniel Bryan. And it's not because the match is going to be bad. It's not because of anything that wasn't built up before goes on there. It's because the crowd's tired. And they, you know, just shouted whatever out for the match previous. And that hurts these shows. It's going to be a slog. I don't want my wrestling watching to feel like a chore. And I feel like at some point that's what happens when there's just too many matches.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I mean, it's definitely a long show.
I got a good comparison. The indie show that we went to, and the greatest night of the history of our sport, that was in the afternoon in Philadelphia. I don't want to rip on the company. If you want to do it, that's fine. But that was a slog of a show, if you remember, because it was a tournament.
Which are you talking? Like you said, it was in Philadelphia,
yeah.
Which is why
was
the tournament we went and saw
was
in Connecticut.
No, the tournament wasn't in Connecticut. We can find about it later. But anyway, it was a. We'll go back. We'll go back to the archives later.
Oh,
no,
I know what you're talking about. You're talking about
yeah,
PCW.
Yeah.
Best of the best six. Yeah, that card was terrible. That was just horrendous. That was
so
like 200 ship groups.
Everybody wrestled like all day.
Like four, like, there was 14 matches on that show. It was terrible. It ran late.
And it got cut short.
Yeah, they cut out matches. They cut out at least two matches. So yeah, that was bad. Denise, have you ever had to do the marathon thing for wrestling? Whether it was a trip, you know, whether it was just something that you were like, man, this whole experience outside of doing the show, this whole experience is taking way longer than I thought it should.
You know what? I guess maybe not like, oh my God, this experience has been a lot, but I have done like, it was WrestleMania in Santa Clara, Santa Clara, San Francisco. And I remember I sat through like three consecutive indie shows in a row in one day, and I was having really bad allergies to top it all off. But I remember afterwards, I was like, man, I saw a lot of good matches today, but I'm also completely fried right now. But granted, I stayed for more than one show, you know. But I feel like Patrick brought up a good point, and it's like, yeah. The thing is that, you know, for example, WrestleMania, when everybody was like not even caring about the Brock Lesnar Roman Reigns match, like it was a great match. You know, for those that were watching on TV, but for the audience, we were done already, considering we had been there since like, what, 2 p.m. or whatever time it was over there. Like, if it's a long show, by the end, you're just kind of like, whatever, I already saw the things I wanted to see. Because, you know, everybody goes in to a show and they're like, okay, these are the key matches that either I'm interested in or we should all be interested in, you know? So once you kind of see that stuff, and then the rest of it, it's kind of like killing you. You're just like, okay, I'm going to see this, this, and that, and the rest is just killing my energy. So yeah, I totally get it. I think that if WWE wants to have everybody engaged, I think they do need to chop block a few of the matches, you know?
That's pretty good. Chop block. That's pretty brutal right there, Patrick. She's chop blocking people.
Well, yeah. I keep waiting as these shows get longer for it to turn into an actual full weekend experience where it's like SummerSlam Night 1, SummerSlam Night 2.
Oh, yeah. I've said that about WrestleMania.
You can do this with this card. Like, with 13 matches, yeah, you could easily split that out. You got two easy main events in AJ and Joe and Brock and that other guy, Roman.
His name's Roman Reigns.
that dude. I'm worried about his sight, actually. His vision is impaired, and that bothers me. I'm going to talk about that later. But
This is my yard now.
There's two shows on one night. It's a lot. It's tough.
It is. It is a lot. And I don't know if they're following the lead of New Japan and I don't know what they're doing. I don't think they are. And like I talked about it before, Money in the Bank was a long show. And it was just well paced out, and they had a little break in the middle, and it just seemed to work, and they kind of abandoned that model. We'll see what they do with SummerSlam, but going into it, I think the length of the show is going to be a factor for some people. And unfortunately, does what we hate, causes people to make their mind up about things before those things happen. So that's going to be a little bit interesting. Outside of Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, I'll give you the chance, Patrick, since Denise took that one. What do you think has had a really good build for this show?
I've liked AJ and Joe, and part of that's just because I like AJ and I like Joe.
Right.
So seeing them, we've watched them hook up many, many times, whether it be in ROH, whether it be in TNA, and now here in a WWE ring, which for me, it's kind of like any time we see some of these guys that we saw on the independent circuit, get like these big time feuds. I've liked how solid of a champion AJ really has been for SmackDown. I like the way, the type of champion that he's had to be and the challenges he's gotten to face. And just him versus Joe, there's some pretty good heat, nice little pull apart today to kind of get into the go home and don't want to wait till Sunday sort of stuff. I'm looking forward to that match. I'm excited for it. I think the build could have been nothing, and I would still be like, oh, I really like the build for AJ and Joe. So,
yeah. The match kind of sells itself.
Yeah, very much so.
I'll be honest with you. I think both women's matches have been built very well over the past few weeks. If you look at the situation that they're in, Ronda, still very inexperienced, but still one of the biggest, probably one of the two biggest attractions the company has, and the way they built through Money in the Bank and then her 30-day suspension and everything they've done with someone as green as Ronda Rousey. I think they've done a great job. And Alexa Bliss is just shining through this whole experience. On the SmackDown side, I love the build that they've done for the Women's Championship match on SmackDown, starting off with Becky, Charlotte coming back, earning her way in. You've got the two best friends. There's a lot that's being teased there that I won't get into too much because we have our picks, and I'm sure some of our thoughts about what will happen there will come out in the picks. But I think that both women's matches has been really good. Denise, are we allowing The Miz and Daniel Bryan to be overshadowed, or maybe has the WWE allowed that to be overshadowed?
What do you mean overshadowed?
I don't know. I just feel like it doesn't seem as important as some of the other things when it really should.
Given how long this history has been between Daniel Bryan and The Miz, I'm going to say that, maybe it should be more important, but truthfully, a lot of people are talking about it, so maybe it's not totally overshadowed, because I know a lot of people, when they're like, what match has had the best build, a lot of people that I have been talking to have been talking about Daniel Bryan and The Miz. If it's not Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns, they're talking about Daniel Bryan and The Miz. So I almost feel like it really just depends on whether or not you choose to care.
That's a good point. I definitely think that's fair. Daniel Bryan and The Miz, and even to a part, Samoa Joe and AJ Styles, to me, seem to be matches that are hurt by the co-branded pay-per-views. That these are the kind of matches that, if SmackDown had their own pay-per-views, would get to main event. But, we just go so long without seeing these matches in the main event for WWE with the co-branded pay-per-view. So that, to me, strikes something that the co-branded pay-per-view might take some of that away. SummerSlam, regardless, would be a co-branded pay-per-view. So it's not really a big point for SummerSlam, just more some of the other ones and the quality of these matches, because those two matches might steal the show. And I'm very excited to see both of them. But let's jump into our picks, because we got a lot of matches to pick here, and we can talk a little bit about each match if we want to. We don't really need to, depending upon the match. Some of the matches warrant it, some may not, but we will go ahead and dive right in to SummerSlam. We first three matches are on the kickoff, and then we'll be going to the main card after that. Once again, appearing on the kickoff. It is the Cruiserweight Championship. Cedric Alexander defending that Cruiserweight Championship against a favorite of many, Drew Gulak. So, Patrick, we'll start with you. Of course, it's who should win and who will win.
Mustafa Ali should win, but he's not in the match, so that's unfortunate. God, I love that guy. You know, I'm going to shine through and own that I haven't been watching 205, so, like, the story and whatever's been building there, I couldn't tell you. With that in mind, I'm going to pick the champ on this one to retain, because I really know nothing about what's going on 205 right now.
Okay, fair enough. I do watch 205 Live, and I would have replaced Mustafa Ali with Buddy Murphy if I were making your joke. Because I really love what he's been able to do and accomplish. I love Drew Gulak. We were lucky enough to have Drew Gulak on our show many years ago and have a lot of fun there. And it's great to see him achieving the success he's achieving. Ever since he earned this championship opportunity, kind of felt like a placeholder feud before, just because we need to put a match on SummerSlam for the Cruiserweight division before we, because they kind of do the important things on the broadcast. Which makes a lot of sense with an attraction like 205 Live. I don't think Drew Gulak should win. I do think it should be Cedric Alexander. I think it will be Cedric Alexander. WWE is favoring the longer reigns in a lot of ways right now, and the Cruiserweight Championship, regardless of where anybody puts the brand, it is the top and only championship on the 205 Live brand. And so I do think that Cedric's going to continue to carry it coming out of SummerSlam. Denise, what do you think?
Oh, I totally agree with both of you guys. I think should and will should be Cedric, definitely. And yay to WWE favoring longer title reigns, because if there's one thing I hate is a short title reign. Like, I hate it, I hate it, I hate it. I like it when a belt stays on a person for a good lengthy amount of time, so that's a plus. But, yeah, definitely should and will Cedric on this one as well.
All right, so we're all in agreement, but I'm sure it won't stay that way for long, which is totally fine. Next up, we do have the mixed tag team match where Rusev and Lana will team up to take on the duo that many love, Andrade Cien Almas and Zelina Vega. Denise, we'll let you go first this time with who should and who will win this.
Should and will, definitely Andrade Cien Almas and Zelina, because I feel that they need it more. Well, Andrade needs it a lot more than Rusev. You know, I feel like a lot of their hype has gone down since coming to the main roster. So I definitely think that they need it, and should and will, Andrade and Zelina.
All right, Patrick, what do you think?
Craig, I feel like we're disappointing you today. I'm fin to agree with Denise. And I agree with a lot of the points that she made, that there's a little bit of a need there. Rusev and Lana basically can carry whatever, and so they can lose this match, and it's not going to really hurt them very much. So Rusev will bounce back, Lana will bounce back. You know, with Almas and Vega just very recently being up on the roster and still kind of getting their footing, this would be a nice little a way to kind of keep that going. So I'm going to go with should and will for Almas and Vega.
Well, I agree with you guys that Andrade Cien Almas and Zelina Vega should win this match. I don't think they are. This is a match on the kickoff. Everyone loves Rusev Day. This can very easily continue on through SmackDown and you know, Hell in a Cell and whatever we do next. Like, I think there's other opportunities for this feud to continue beyond this. And it's also very easy to see, you know, Lana getting the victory over Zelina Vega and really not hurting Andrade too much. So while I do agree they should win, I think Rusev and Lana are going to pick up the victory in this match and walk out the victors, at least here. I don't think this whole storyline ends at SummerSlam either. It could actually turn into what could be a very entertaining feud between Andrade and Rusev, which I would very much enjoy. So we finally disagree. But that's I'm not picking that just to disagree. That's really what I would have gone with. Now we move into the Raw Tag Team Championship. And the B Team, team that I like loved at first, and now I'm already kind of tired of. It's crazy how quickly that waned for me. Once they became a thing, got their own shirts, whatever, I was like, it's not as much fun anymore to me. But the B team is defending against the Revival. For me, my should and win is the same. I honestly believe that you know, your vicious cycle of tag team wrestling that I'm sure you'll talk about should you know, get its next stop, and we should see the revival, a legitimate tag team hold the tag team championship. And I think we will. Watching them in that triple threat match on Raw on Monday, like they're a real tag team, and the other two teams really came off as far less of a real tag team against the revival. And so I'm ready, and I think the revival's ready to be the Raw Tag Team Champions and maybe go on a little bit of a run. They might not be on the main card of every show. They might even be left off of some pay-per-views, but the Revival is a credible tag team. I think they're believable tag team champions. And they might be a foot shorter than most people they step in the ring with, but we can get past that these days in wrestling. So I'm going with the Revival for both my should and my win. Denise, what do you think?
I'm about to spice things up and go the other direction with you. So mine is should and will be the B team, because I feel like the Revival, like, I mean, I feel like they're a dead tag team, to tell you the truth. There's nothing much to them. I feel like the B team, like, yeah, maybe you don't take them super seriously, but they're fun. So I feel like because they bring that fun element to it, I think that's the reason why they should keep the titles. So I'm definitely going to say the B team.
All right, Patrick, where are you at?
Well, here's the thing. You are correct. I think we are in the vicious tag team cycle that the WWE likes to do, where we've had our big-time team gradually work its way down to where now we're at a team where it's acceptable for the Revival to beat the B team. And I think the Revival, as that tag team that you described, should absolutely beat the B team. But they're not going to beat the B team. Not this time. I think the B team is going to find a way to win, and that this is going to keep going for a little bit longer. I also don't know that I don't know how much the WWE, like, the Revival's taking their lumps. I don't know how much they buy into them as a draw worth watching on TV, you know, every Monday, yet. And so, you know, I do wonder how long it'll be before they win it. But we're definitely now at the point where an established tag team can beat the B team, unless we get a super team that just crushes the B team, and then starts the cycle all over again, where you have the super team at the top that you have to gradually work your way down to.
But then you're skipping a step, because then you're going to, you know, you're going straight to super team without the Revival having been champion. So I don't know. It's possible though.
I don't know. I think the title switch will happen. I don't think it'll happen this time around.
Makes sense. Makes total sense. Which will take us out of the kickoff and into what most people would refer to as the main card. We'll start things off here with the United States Championship, as United States Champion Shinsuke Nakamura defends against the man who everybody said was injured, but yet he keeps showing up every single week, and that is Jeff Hardy. Patrick, we'll let you go first.
For me, just short answer, Shinsuke should win. Shinsuke will win. I don't, and I know I'm probably barking up the wrong tree here, unless Randall shows up in some way to mess with things, which who knows, that may happen too. I feel like Nakamura needs to hold on to the title longer. You know, we were talking about longer title reigns. I feel like we don't need Jeff Hardy or United States champion again. We just don't need it right now. Like, finish this thing up and move on to something new and interesting for Shinsuke to bite his teeth into, because I don't think Jeff's the right guy. And if Jeff's injured, maybe this, you know, we'll finally get him out so that he can recover. Go recover, Jeff.
Did you just give us a Jeff's not the guy, brother?
He's not the guy, brother.
That's close. Bobby's not the guy, brother. Bobby's not even the guy on this show, brother. So
right.
That's where we are with poor Bobby Roode. I can't think of a single reason why Jeff Hardy should win this match. Like, I just can't.
Right. Exactly.
I can't even think of a reason why Jeff Hardy's in the match. I really think we should have moved on to Randy Orton already at this point. And with his, and I'm sure he'll be involved. I also can't imagine a situation where Randy Orton's not involved. And, of course, that is a little bit of a wild card in how this match turns out. But I'm going, like you, Shinsuke on both sides, because I just can't see why Jeff Hardy gets the win, which, of course, could mean that Jeff Hardy gets the win, but I'm going to stick with that for now. Denise, where are you at with this one?
Honestly, this is just the one that I feel I can't disagree at all. I feel like should and will, Shinsuke Nakamura. And, yeah, Randy Orton has to play a part in this. And I almost feel like this is going to be a way to kind of write Jeff Hardy off for a while. You know, he needs the break, as, you know, Patrick mentioned earlier. You know, we know that his body hasn't been that great, yet he does keep showing up every week. But this might be the, hey, let's give Jeff Hardy a break finally.
Speaking of a guy whose body's not that great, Baron Corbin is in our next.
Oh,
I know. I don't even hate the guy anymore, but that's okay.
You should.
I should. I know. Maybe that'll be my next week's hate myself for loving. I can't say I love Baron Corbin. It'll be a hate myself for liking. But Finn Balor, of course, going one-on-one once again with Baron Corbin in a rematch from their Extreme Rules singles match, which, of course, is so extreme. Denise, we'll let you begin here. Who do you got between everyone's favorite Baron Corbin and the guy everybody hates, Finn Balor? I got the best.
So I'm excited to finally have a different should and a different will, because I feel like they've all been the same for me. This one, I think that Finn Balor should win, but I think Baron Corbin will win. It just makes more sense, although I don't care about Baron Corbin. I prefer to see Finn Balor win, but I think it is going to be Baron Corbin for this one.
All right, Patrick.
Denise has got it right. And this to me just feels like a delightful moment of we're going to play some even Stevens booking. And you know, Baron Corbin. I can't stand the guy, Greg. I don't know. I did not come around on him with the gospel thing and the change. And so part of this is that I just don't want him to win, but I think he's going to. That's all I'm going to say about that. I hate him. I hate him so much.
I really should continue to hate Baron Corbin. He stole Darren Corbin's name, who we love.
Yeah, what a jerk.
He stole Aesop Mitchell's gimmick at this point in his gear, who we also love. And yet here where I am, he's still – this Baron Corbin, who still stinks, he still sucks, is far more better than the old Baron Corbin, who also sucked. I slightly disagree with you guys. I do believe that Finn Balor should win this match. I also think Finn Balor will win this match. I think with him being Constable Corbin, the interactions with Kurt Angle, and the credibility from Stephanie McMahon, I don't see why Corbin wins this match. I think that Balor just still gets the upper hand on pay-per-view, while Corbin might still get it on television. So I'm going with Finn Balor. Should win. Finn Balor will win, to kind of go against the conventional wisdom of the 50-50 booking. Now we go to the SmackDown Tag Team Championship, where the Bludgeon Brothers, hope everybody remembers they are the Tag Team Champions, they defend against the New Day. The New Day getting another shot at the Tag Team Championship. If I were to copy Patrick's very first piece of information that he gave out for the first match, I would say that my should is the Bar, as they should be the ones that are in this match. And then second place would go to Sanity, third place to the Usos, and last place to the New Day. But yet it's the New Day who are in this match. The Bludgeon Brothers still do nothing for me. That said, I can say that they shouldn't win this match. They should, because the New Day just shouldn't be tag team champions yet again. And I do think that's the direction we're going to go in. I feel like the Bludgeon Brothers should win, and I think the Bludgeon Brothers will win. And then maybe we can do something a little more productive with the tag team division on SmackDown. Denise, what say you?
I totally agree. Should and would the Bludgeon Brothers. I mean, yeah, I'm not crazy about them either, but I feel like maybe we still haven't seen enough of them. You know, I guess let the team develop and whatnot. So definitely should and will Bludgeon Brothers.
Hopefully it's a longer match for them, which we haven't really had a chance to see. Like, even at WrestleMania, that match was kind of a throwaway, real quick, nothing match. So hopefully we'll get to see both tag matches at WrestleMania were. Hopefully we'll see something a little bit longer. Patrick, your turn.
I think you hit on something really important when you're talking about the New Day and not needing to be like not needing another run with the tag titles. I think at this point the New Day actually really is an anchor on that tag division, and kind of like while they're a tag team that you can just plug in all the time, like there's too much New Day, and it needs to take a break, because I do think it hurts some of the other teams you mentioned, like the Bar. I think it hurts the Bludgeon Brothers. Like, I think that that team that has been speculated about breaking up, I think that needs to happen. Like, I feel like for me, outside of the merchandising and whatever, and whatever fun they're having as a unit, creatively, where do you go? Like, what is there left to do with them as a trio? And I just don't see it. And another tag title run doesn't do it. So,
Blood and Brothers will.
Yeah,
the merchandise is not what it used to be for the New Day, according to the reports. We don't really know, per se, and I kind of feel that way. Now, I was going to table this topic, but Patrick already went into it, so we'll dive in real quick. Denise, how do you feel about the New Day in general? Like, is it time to move on and maybe do something different with all three of them, break them up? How do you feel with New Day?
You know what? It's so easy for a guy to get lost in a shuffle, to get lost in the roster, to maybe not get the opportunities that, you know, that they should, you know. For example, Finn Balor, we can all name a bunch of guys that can get lost in the shuffle and whatnot. So I fear that if the New Day were to get that thing, that it were to end, that these guys that have talent would get lost. You know, they wouldn't have a spot on the show. And I feel because they are such a fun team that obviously sells a lot of merch and does a lot of stuff. You know, they attract children, which is, you know, clearly what WWE wants. So I don't see a reason for them to break them apart. You know, like we mentioned, the merch money, they're getting lots of stuff out of that. They've been doing a lot of, you know, their breakfast items, that stuff too. So you know what? I feel if it's not broken, you don't have to fix that. I think they're perfectly fine, and I think that they're capable of a lot of things. They just don't have a lot of options available to them to have, you know, consistently good matches and whatnot like they were having with the Usos. So I think that, yeah, it would not be super smart to break them apart. I mean, yeah, for us as the fans, maybe they're not like, OMG, we're not that super excited about them anymore, but for a lot of the younger, maybe newer fans, they probably still are.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, the tag team division on SmackDown is loaded, but it's on a show that can't really afford a loaded tag team division, and the tag team division on Raw is not at all loaded, and yet it has 3 hours and could afford a loaded tag team division. So it is kind of a strange setup because, you know, we still have Gallows and Anderson just kind of doing nothing on SmackDown as well. So, and Sanity, I mean, there's just so many good teams on SmackDown that don't really see the light of day because there's only 2 hours of real estate to work through. So you make a good point, though, by getting lost in the shuffle, and I think that's a point that I know I often forget as well is, yeah, it's time to break up the New Day, but what do you do with them? And you only have, you know, you can have three brands at this point with the amount of talent we have in WWE on the main roster. And everybody would have more real estate to work with. But we don't have three brands, and I do agree with you. I want the New Day to split up, but I also want them to go on and do bigger and better things. And if they can't go on and do bigger and better things, then maybe you're right. Maybe they should stay together. So very interesting topic, and maybe we can dive in more another day. But I listed this as a title match because I don't know how else to sort of state it on the rundown here. But it is for the Money in the Bank briefcase, where Braun Strowman is technically defending his briefcase, which has been done before, against Kevin Owens. It will be the match where if Strowman is disqualified or counted out, he also loses the briefcase to Kevin Owens. The briefcase is on the line, Braun Strowman defending against Kevin Owens. Patrick, what do you think?
This is so tough. And the reason why it's tough is because I don't think Braun Strowman should have the briefcase in the first place because he doesn't need it. Like, he should just be the number one contender without the briefcase. So that threat of him having it. I also don't think he's a very compelling he has the briefcase, when's he going to cash it in? I think it is not good for his character. So in my opinion, Kevin Owens should find a way to win this match. Because Braun, you know, when I talk about, like, when we talk about people not needing something, like, you listen to the response that he got at Raw this week.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he was over heart. He doesn't need a briefcase. He should just be able, like, with the wake of destruction that he has put out there, he should be able to, on that merit, be like, I get the winner. I got next. Pointing at Brock and Roman. The briefcase is an element that just isn't necessary. That being said, and it's nice that they put the stipulations of the disqualifications and the other sort of things, because it makes me feel like there is a chance that Owens wins this and then somehow gets that briefcase away, which I think is much more compelling for him. So you know what? Screw it. I'm going to flip because I was going to say that Owens should win, but Strowman will win. I'm going to go both ways. I think Kevin Owens should win this, and I think he, you know, wins through one of the stiffs and doesn't, you know, he's not going to pin Braun Strowman, but maybe he gets him DQ'd and finds a way to wrest that briefcase away just for funsies.
You know, I was so excited because we were going to be different, and then at the very last second you flipped. Because I agree with you. Like this is – I think Kevin Owens should have the briefcase, and that's what this is really about, is who should have the briefcase, and I think he should win this match. And a stipulation like this, the disqualification of the count out causing the briefcase to change hands, is intended to instill some doubt in who's going to win the match and make us as a viewer think there's some doubt. But sometimes those stipulations actually happen and they actually work. And this just strikes me as a situation where they are going to move the briefcase, because if you've got Roman Reigns coming out of SummerSlam as champion, you know, Braun Strowman holding the briefcase, like Patrick said, not interesting at all. Kevin Owens holding the briefcase, much more interesting. And I don't know if this is the plan all along, or if maybe they just wanted to end Money in the Bank with Braun Strowman standing tall. And of course, Kevin Owens taking huge dives off of things way too high that he doesn't need to dive off of. But I do think that this might be a situation where the stipulation comes into play. And so I think Kevin Owens should win. And I think because of maybe the count out, you know, Braun runs around the ring too many times, gets lost and gets counted out. Who knows? Or the DQ because the briefcase gets involved. I don't know. I do think Owens leaves this match with the briefcase. And maybe it goes back. You know, we've seen a briefcase change hands once. We've never seen it change hands twice with the same holder. So who knows what may happen down the road. But I'm on Owens on this one as well, which is surprising me that we have two people that are Owens. Maybe we have three. We'll find out. Denise, what do you think?
I don't know. I feel like I came in here with some good, solid ideas of what I was going to say, and now you guys have, like, yeah, I don't, I mean, I don't, like, now you guys are making me think twice. All right, so obviously, clearly, Braun Strowman did not need to win that Money in the Bank at all. He did not need it. He looks silly with it, you know, because he's supposed to be the monster, right? So he's not supposed to need all of this, like, you know, he's not supposed to be the guy that needs a tag team partner. He's not supposed to be the guy that needs the Money in the Bank. He's not supposed to be that guy because he's strong all on his own, right? So he shouldn't have this briefcase. But unless he gets completely screwed in some sort of way, they kind of put themselves between a rock and a hard place where they can't now have him lose the Money in the Bank, because let's face it, that would just kill his character and make him look utterly ridiculous, you know? So that can't happen either. I do think that Kevin Owens having the Money in the Bank would benefit him a lot more, not just for him to, like, you know, have more stories and so on, but also benefits him because he's a heel. It would make him a lot worse. But I'm going to say, should Braun Strowman and will Braun Strowman, because I just can't see myself. I can't see WWE taking away the Money in the Bank briefcase from him.
Here we go. What if, Patrick and Denise too, but you guys will love this. What if Kevin Owens wins because Jinder Mahal comes out and attacks Kevin Owens? Therefore, Owens wins by disqualification. Then we can have Hell in a Cell, big main event, Jinder Mahal, finally the one to topple Braun Strowman. Clean, 1-2-3 in the middle of the ring. What? Yeah? No? Maybe?
Stop it. Shame on yourself, Greg. Greg loves him some Jinder. He doesn't want Jinder to be hindered. I got one other thing I do want to say about what the only way that the briefcase ever made sense to me for Braun Strowman is if he cashed it in a la a Rob Van Dam.
Yeah.
You know, where he's like, this is where I'm going to do it. And you just make the match. But again, that's the I've got next sort of philosophy and build the match. That's what makes sense. But the WWE has absolutely turned the Money in the Bank briefcase as of late into the surprise cash-in thing. Because it pops. It always pops.
Right. You could do a surprise cash-in with Braun Strowman, and it still makes more sense. It could still make "quote unquote" Braun Strowman sense. Imagine this: Survivor Series. You know, Team Raw. Maybe they kind of abandon the champion versus champion thing. You'd have to for this idea, But, you know, Roman and Braun, sole survivors for Team Raw. Roman and Braun standing there, both still, you know, have their faculties about them. Nobody's out, no surprise. And Sherman says, you know what? I'm cashing in. And now we have a match at Survivor Series for the Universal Championship. Somewhat of an even match because they would have both just wrestled. And maybe Strowman eliminated a bunch of people. Feels like he has some momentum. And we get that match right there. I don't know. There's a way to do the surprise but not be a detriment to Roman Reigns. But you'd have to abandon the Survivor Series gimmick they just started last year, which might be a good idea. Who knows? I don't know. Although right now it could mean, you know, a decent match for the World Championship at Survivor Series, depending on what we pick here in a little bit. But before we get there, we have Daniel Bryan versus The Miz. So, Denise, who should win? Who will win?
You know what? I feel like this all depends on whether or not Daniel Bryan decides to re-sign with WWE. I feel, granted, if he does, then should and will Daniel Bryan. And if he's not, then I guess we'll find out with this match. I feel like this match will speculate a lot of that.
It really will. It really will. But knowing what we know today, who would you go with?
I'm going to say should and will Daniel Bryan.
Okay. Definitely makes sense. I am. It's strange because Daniel Bryan and every, you know, the whole cast has been announced for another season of Total Bellas, and so at least, but most of it's probably already been filmed. I don't know how they do all that. You might actually know more than I do, being in the entertainment world. But to me, that seems to be a. I just can't see Daniel Bryan leaving. I just, you know, the schedule WWE can give him, everything just seems to make sense for Daniel Bryan to continue to work with WWE. In my opinion, I think this is not going to be the end of this feud. I think it should continue, and for that reason, I think The Miz is going to win. I think there's a lot they're going to do in this feud. I think we're going to get a mixed tag match at some point with Maryse and with Brie Bella getting involved. Like, this is going to extend possibly to WrestleMania. Who knows? We'll see. We'll see what happens. But to me, I think The Miz should win this match to keep the feud going. I think he will win this match. I think it's going to be something the internet's going to complain about, but I do see The Miz picking up the big victory over Daniel Bryan tonight. We lost Patrick O'Dowd. However, he has returned. It's just like him kind of not being here last week, and now he's here this week, and we'll do it again soon with the next 2 weeks. Patrick, we're talking Daniel Bryan and The Miz. You know what to do.
Yeah, I caught what you were saying, Greg, and I think that SummerSlam is not where this feud ends. I absolutely agree with you. I think Daniel Bryan and The Miz needs to culminate in WrestleMania. And I feel like this feud has become, you know, my favorite feud of all time, right? Right, Greg?
No.
Tito Santana and Rick Martel.
Oh, Rick Martel. Yeah,
And why is that?
Because they always hated each other. No matter what. Years later in a Royal Rumble, they'd go after each other.
For like years, they hated each other. This is
if they were
Tito
both
Santana.
In the same. If they were both in the same target tomorrow, they would have to fight. Like, that's just the way.
In fact, Rick Martel's Twitter guy rips on Tito Santana on Twitter. It's awesome because Rick Martel.
How do you know that's not Rick Martel?
It's not. I've actually researched this guy. He's legit. It knows Rick that and Rick gives me permission, but it's not actually Rick Martel. I think that this keeps going. I agree with Greg. I think that The Miz actually should win this match, and I think he will to perpetuate this feud, and we'll get some other stuff going because I think this needs to – I want this to end at WrestleMania, and so that's where I want to see it going.
By the way, I just found that Twitter account. It's literally in the bio that it's not Rick Martel, so you're right.
Yes.
I can't claim anything else, so that works. In doing that, though, so you went – what did you pick?
I picked The Miz should and would win.
All right, there we go. So we got a Miz on top of everything else. Now we move to one that I think is very interesting, and that is the SmackDown Women's Championship. Patrick O'Dowd's favorite wrestler of all time, Carmella, will defend her SmackDown Women's Championship against two people, two pioneers of the modern day women's evolution, so to speak, and then just the women's division the way it is now. That is, of course, Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair, and I get to go first. And in this match, When Charlotte was added to the match, there's so many people talking about so many things. Does she turn heel against Becky Lynch, and where are we at? And I think I would have been in that turn heel camp until the advent of the October, late October pay-per-view titled WWE Evolution, because I think that Charlotte turning heel and winning the belt will happen at Evolution, and maybe it happens at Evolution or part of the build to Evolution, but I do think that's where that takes place. To get there, I think Becky Lynch is winning the championship at SummerSlam. So my would is Becky Lynch. Here's my thing. If you're not, if the end game is to put it on Charlotte and you're not going to put it on Charlotte to Evolution, which I think they're going to do, then why not have Carmella still get to be champion? So I am going to say that my should is in fact still Carmella, that Carmella should still be the women's champion on SmackDown. But my will is Becky Lynch. So Carmella and Becky. Denise, your turn.
Oh, mine's is backwards. So mine is, my should is Becky Lynch, because I think that her time is long overdue. But I feel like, because I don't want Carmella to still be the champion, I feel like it's going to be Carmella just because I don't want it to be Carmella. I know Patrick loves Carmella, but I just feel she's doing absolutely nothing for the women's championship. SmackDown Women's Champion.
So wrong.
So I'm gonna go with, yeah, should Becky Lynch, but will Carmella. I don't know why.
Ouch. That's just,
you're just so wrong about Carmella. Like, oh my goodness. She is such a great bad guy, and she does. Here's the thing. I've made this comparison so much. She's the honky tonk man.
She is.
Of women's wrestling. She is the champion who everybody knows really shouldn't be the champ, like, at all. And, like, quote-unquote doesn't, because that's what her character is. Like, her character is not somebody who should be the champ. She plays that character so well. She plays that cocky, I'm the greatest ever, until you actually get in the ring with me, and then I'm going to run around like a coward, or I'm gonna get beat on, but then, like, find some way to win, whether it's James Ellsworth or whatever it is. Like, she finds a way. And that's really why I love her. Like, I mean, I think she's pretty, too. But, like, I love what they've done, like, what she's done with her opportunity to be this cowardly heel champion. And I really feel like it's worked. And while I still think the run should end, I think the run's going to end. I tend to agree with Craig. When I think I've picked against Carmella like the last two pay-per-views. So
you have. She's not happy with you.
But you know what? She's still fabulous. She still wins. And every time she wins, you can ask our chat room how that reaction goes from Patrick O'Dowd in the chat room.
What are your official picks?
My official pick is that Becky Lynch is going to win. I think she should win too. As much as I love Carmella and Charlotte, there's always that LOL Charlotte wins factor, but I do think that this is Becky's being positioned to win this title and to be the champ.
FABULOUS. Diamonds on my.
You're welcome.
All right, maybe one of these weeks where Patrick won't be here, we'll have an extended conversation about Carmella just because Patrick's not here, and then he can not listen and not know that we did it, so it'll be fine. The Intercontinental Championship will be defended as Dolph Ziggler with Drew McIntyre in his corner will go one-on-one with, of course, the guy that everybody seems to associate with the Intercontinental Championship, everyone except me, that is, and that is, of course, Seth Rollins. And who is in Seth Rollins' corner?
Dean fucking Ambrose.
It's been a while since I've been able to use that. I'm excited. So very, very happy with that. Patrick, you get to go first. Who should, who will?
Dean Ambrose's eyebrows that are now apparently missing, which I couldn't get over, like, when he showed back up. I want to care about this match. I really do. You know what I mean? And I just don't. I think Dolph Ziggler should win this match. I think Dolph Ziggler will win this match. I don't want Seth back on that title reign. And so I'm going to pick against him in both instances. I don't want to see him back as champ. I want to see Dolph Ziggler run with this until he and Drew have a falling out. I want Shawn Michaels and Diesel.
You might just get it. By the way, I'm just going to put this out there. Somebody posted a 2012 through 2018 different pictures of Dean Ambrose. You know my thoughts on what wrestlers do and how they get to be where they are. Dean Ambrose's head looks a whole hell of a lot bigger in the 2018 picture than it has in the prior pictures. Not saying. I'm just saying. As for this match, yeah, it's true. There's different ways to take pictures. I get it. I do agree with you that Dolph Ziggler should win this match. I had this conversation on Twitter earlier with somebody who was basically saying if you pick against Seth Rollins, we can't be friends. I did manage to salvage the friendship. I still think of Seth Rollins as above Intercontinental Championship level to me. And I know it's not the stepping stone championship that it once was, but to me, I just think Ziggler screams Intercontinental Champion. Rollins screams main event program not involving a championship. Like that's kind of what I see, and probably the feud with Dean Ambrose. The Ambrose versus Rollins story may not really come to a head until WrestleMania, and so we'll see what happens there. And so that could mean that Rollins wins here. And that's actually the direction I'm going to go in. I think Ziggler should win. I think WWE is going to have Rollins win the championship back here at SummerSlam, the WrestleMania of the summer. That is, and we'll tell the two separate stories that way. According to reports, Ziggler still hasn't re-signed with the company, which means he doesn't have a whole lot of time left. It means it could be time to use him to build Drew McIntyre. We'll see, but I still think that Ziggler should retain, but I think that Rollins will actually walk out. You're in a Continental Champion. Denise?
You know what? I feel like this one, a lot of people, you know, it's that Dean Ambrose is going to turn on Seth. And I feel like it might definitely happen. So because of that, should and will Dob Ziggler.
There we go. Ziggler on both counts. So you guys agree. Now we have the Raw Women's Championship, where Alexa Bliss is going to defend her championship against Ronda Rousey. Denise, we'll let you start it off.
So, first of all, I love Alexa Bliss. I love, 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 love Alexa Bliss, like in every single possible facet. She's my Carmella. There you go. My Carmella is Alexa Bliss. And I think she's a great champion, but I do think that should and will for this one is going to be Ronda Rousey because, let's face it, she's a star. And then going into Evolution, I think that she should definitely be the champion for that. So because of that, I'm going to say should and will Ronda Rousey, even though it hurts my heart because I love Alexa Bliss.
Patrick, what do you think?
Well, you can't flip both titles on Evolution, can you? So I think that Denise is right. I love Alexa Bliss too. I think she's wonderful. I think she's a lot of fun. I think she's the best heel on the Raw Women's roster. But I think that, you know, they're surprised. I'm actually surprised they haven't put the belt on Ronda already. So I'm thinking that while I actually feel like Alexa should win, I feel like Ronda's going to win.
That's kind of where I am, too. I think Alexa should win this match. I think that she just does such a great job. She's the kind of person that, you know, could be the Honky Tonk Man champion in terms of length of her run, but, you know, probably won't get that per se. I'm proud of WWE for waiting so long to put the championship on Ronda Rousey because I thought it was going to happen at Money in the Bank and obviously didn't, and they told a great story there. But it's taken us to where we are now, and I do think they're going to pull the trigger and put that belt on Ronda Rousey. But I will say should is Alexa Bliss, but will is going to be Ronda Rousey. That takes us to the WWE Championship match. AJ Styles quietly, not so quietly, becoming one of the longest reigning and really most entertaining champions in all of WWE. He will defend that WWE Championship against a longtime foe in Samoa Joe. And I get to go first, and I'm kind of excited that I do. I love the reign that AJ Styles has had, and there have been so many times where he thought he was going to lose, especially the matches involving Shinsuke Nakamura. With four opportunities for Shinsuke Nakamura, you would have thought that he would win one of them. There were people who were picking Rusev to walk out of Extreme Rules with that WWE Championship, but it's still AJ Styles. And I know we have the video game coming out, but he's not holding the belt on the cover. Doesn't need to be. In my opinion, I think it's time. It's now or never for Samoa Joe. The build has been so good with him here. I don't know if it gets any better. I honestly think that Samoa Joe should win this match and be your new WWE champion. And for some reason, against my better judgment, I think he will. I am picking Samoa Joe to walk out of SummerSlam. And what I think some people would be surprised and shocked to see, he will walk out as the WWE champion and kind of, quote unquote, change the mood a little bit on SmackDown Live. Denise, what do you think?
Okay, so I totally agree with you in terms of Samoa Joe would be shocking and would be awesome. So I love Samoa Joe. Like, Samoa Joe has been one of my favorites for a very, very long time. I absolutely love him. And honestly, but to tell you the truth, my should and will is AJ Styles, just because there's still so much. We know that AJ Styles is a great competitor. We know that he can have a great match with anybody. So because of that, there's still so many more opportunities and ways and different directions that you can go with AJ Styles. You know, we still want to see AJ Randy Orton. We still want to see AJ Daniel Bryan. I feel because of that, there's still so many more opportunities with AJ Styles. Granted, there is opportunities with Samoa Joe, but I still think that we should still probably focus right now on AJ. And I don't think that this is going to be their last match. I feel like definitely we're going to be seeing a rematch. But yeah, should and will AJ.
All right, Patrick, what do you think?
I disagree with Denise. I think that I agree with you, Greg. I think that it really is time to see what Joe kind of reminds me of where the kind of way I feel like Naito over New Japan. Like, when are we going to do it? When are we going to pull the trigger with Joe? Like, you know what you've got. And the timeline isn't as long as people might like to think it is.
Right.
And I think that AJ is another one of those guys. Like, he's going to get another title run. AJ doesn't need the belt right now. I think that they've actually done that with him over the two-plus years or whatever that he's been here. To where we went from being outraged about him losing to Chris Jericho at WrestleMania to where now I'm like, AJ could lose this title and really do something great to build Samoa Joe and really give Joe a special kind of momentum. And then, you know, and AJ's going to get his rematch. But I think that, you know, I think Joe should and will win.
All right. So we got Joe/Joe. So we you and I agree. So we will see how that turns out. And lastly, we do have the Universal Championship match. It will be Brock Lesnar defending that championship against Roman Reigns the third time this year, fourth time overall, which, by the way, is the same number of times that AJ wrestled Shinsuke, for those of you that are complaining about the frequency of this match. And that doesn't even count their non-title match on SmackDown. So, Patrick, your choices.
So before I talk about this, I got to complain about the last segment because I was really mad about the last segment. I don't know if you saw that. That was our go home segment. I liked that promo that Paul Heyman gave. I like really liked it. Loved the delivery. And you know how I feel about Paul Heyman.
I do.
And you know how I feel about what he does to it. Like, I don't like the guy very much. And I think that this build and what they've done with him was great. And I actually can't help but go back to an episode of 83 Weeks that I think just happened on Savage, but the one before, where Bischoff talked about this idea of telling a good story and actually carrying some of that doubt to a payoff.
Mm-hmm.
And they took some doubt away with that really stupid decision to mace Roman Reigns in the eye and blind him and have Brock beat down on him. I would have loved that a side narrative going into this championship match was where do Paul Heyman's loyalties lie? And I think that would have been a wonderful story going into this match. The fact of the matter is, to get to the answer to the question, Roman Reigns should win this match. Roman Reigns needs to win this match, in my opinion. Maybe not needs, but... And I think he's finally going to do it. I really think that this is the... He's going to overcome some odds. He's going to finally knock off Brock Lesnar. We're finally going to get him as the champion. The internet fanboys will be all angry, and you know the haters that hate him will complain about it, even though it's the right decision. I feel like that this story could have been even bigger than what it was just by not having that last bit in that segment. Made me so disappointing. Anyway,
yeah, it's interesting because I do think you could sow those seeds of doubt, but maybe they're sowing the seeds for a swerve. I'll hate that even more. I don't see them wanting to put Roman Reigns with Paul Heyman. I think there's more you can do with Paul Heyman, and they will do with Paul Heyman, in my opinion. I just think that they're saving Paul Heyman and Lesnar's relationship for whenever Lesnar finally does come back yet again. I can't responsibly say anything other than Roman Reigns should win this match, and Roman Reigns will win this match, other than the fact that they might have waited too long to do it. But it's the opinion of the fans wasn't going to change regardless. You know, just let Roman be Roman and run with it, because there's a lot of fun you can have with the championship on Raw on a regular basis again. And I think that finally happens after Sunday. Denise, you get to close things up here with your choices for Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns.
You know what? Honestly, if Roman Reigns doesn't win, how do you get back from that? You know, you just can't be losing left and right, you know? So I feel like should and will is definitely Roman Reigns. Like Patrick said, he needs it. Honestly, he really does. You got to feel bad for the guy. He needs this championship, and I do agree with you too, Greg, that there is going to be a lot more possibilities and a lot more fun that they can do on the roster with the bout there. So I totally agree with both of your guys' points on why Roman Reigns should be winning, and let's just face it, he needs to win this one.
It's funny that where do we go from here, feeling that we would have, like, what in the world do you do if Roman Reigns doesn't win? I felt that after WrestleMania as well, but yet here we are. So I think it could be done. But just how, I mean, it just brings the point that how many times can you do that to everybody? And I just don't think you can. I think it's the point now where even the Roman Reigns haters would not be happy if Roman Reigns lost. There would still be some that would be thrilled, don't get me wrong. But I think even they get it at this point. Like, it's just time. It's time to move on and time to make that happen. So there we go. Those are our 13 selections for the 2018 edition of SummerSlam. Denise, tell everybody where they can find you, hear you, all things you.
Yes, definitely. All right, so follow me on Twitter or on Instagram. It's @_DeniseSalcedo. YouTube.com/DeniseSalcedo. Please go there. I have some awesome interviews. I have interviews with Stephanie McMahon and Charlotte Flair that you guys can check out. So make sure to check those out. And then I will also be at Expo Lucha at the end of this month. So look to the site for lots of interviews and stuff like that. Hopefully getting some good interviews and going to be vlogging the experience again. YouTube.com/DeniseSalcedo. You guys can also check out my website, Instinct Culture, if you guys are a fan of not just pro wrestling, but also like movies and TVs and all TV shows. Make sure to check out InstinctCulture.com and, of course, me on Twitter, _DeniseSalcedo.
We're all a fan of TV, so it's okay. We all love TVs. So, all right, Denise, we will do it again soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Have a good night.
I played that just for you.
I know, I appreciate that. Well, before you send me away, before you send me away, I gotta tell you, the last 2 weeks, like, our wrestling childhood has just been falling off the planet, man.
Stop, Patrick.
No,
you can't.
I gotta go there.
No, you don't.
There.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. The clock is ticking, and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes, and we're out.
It's the 3 minute warning. Like, that's what we're going to do.
Okay.
Now you can talk.
Now I can talk about how sad I am that, like, I'm watching my wrestling childhood die. You know, it was so weird that, you know, we had that weekend, the last weekend, where 3 people passed away, and a lot of people, you know, were talking about, like, Brian Christopher and
right.
and whatnot.
Nikolai Volkov.
Well, but that was the thing is, like, for me, I was like, wow. Like, I was really surprised by, like, how much Nikolai, I was like, you know, passed away. Like, that guy, like, him and the Anvil both were a pair of guys from when I was first watching wrestling that I could totally own that I got behind in different ways. Like, hated Nikolai when he would do that Russian national anthem. And then the Anvil, he was actually my favorite part of the Hart Foundation because, let's be real, Bret Hart's a little, he was a little less animated.
Right.
Which I think is part of what made that tag team so great is that the Anvil was just such a ball of fire when you would watch him work. And so to see that come across the ticker yesterday, that was, yeah, man, like, I'm, yeah, it's nuts. Him, Saito, it's amazing how that, and I mean, a lot of it's just like time passing, but it's a lot of things that I was just very fond of from when I was a kid, just seeing them go.
It is tough. It is crazy. And it's funny because I think Jim the Anvil Neidhart and everyone, you know, when hindsight's 20/20, and so everyone talks about how much they love the Anvil. He was an afterthought in a lot of ways for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
With the Hart Foundation. Like, and I was one of them. Like, when the Hart Foundation really started their ascension and finally won the tag titles, I was a huge fan of Bret Hart. And then when Bret Hart got the singles push, I was like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. And never even gave two shits about the Anvil at that point. Like, I'll admit it. I'll own it. Later, I appreciate it. Yeah.
Wow.
Like, later, I appreciated the Anvil and what he did, what he added to the team. You talked about, like, he was the personality. Bret Hart, kind of bland and not really all that, you know. And he had that – he was that technician that you know, a great technical wrestler. Bret Hart was the reason why I was introduced to the term technical wrestler by Gorilla Monsoon. And that's because of Bret Hart when I was a child, you know, before Denise was born, as we established earlier. Man. But then later in watching, going back and watching stuff, I realized exactly that team never would have worked without Jim the Anvil Neidhart and Jimmy Hart. Like, that, they made
Jimmy Hart,
and Anvil's personality,
that,
you know, Bret, and when they were faces, Bret was always the face in peril. Like, it just made sense.
Right.
You couldn't do it without Anvil at all.
There, right after they won the tag titles as a heel team, I still remember their first title defense. And I don't remember the defense, the match itself. I mean, they obviously retained. But they did a little vignette, like between a commercial break. And Bret Hart is there off to the side, and he's smiling. But Jimmy Hart and the Anvil are looking at each other being like, it's my first time. Is it your first time? Well, it's my first time. Is it your first time? It was hilarious. And Bret had very, like, I think Bret said it one time when they said it at unison. But that's, like, those are the things, like, that laugh, pull on the goatee, like, the whole thing, like, that's what, you know, and the guy was a straight-up beast of a powerhouse, you know, kind
he
of
was.
Just built like, I mean, he was a football player, and like, that guy played football and pancaked people. Like, you knew it.
It's so funny, too, because I didn't know until after his passing that his nickname behind the scenes was Rhino. And I never knew that. Not anything that ever came out, not anything I ever heard. But it makes total sense. Like, yeah, I know there's a wrestler named Rhino, but yeah, you look at Jim the Anvil Neidhart, like, the fact that he was nicknamed Rhino just makes perfect sense. It is tough. Like, you're right. Like, our wrestling childhood, you know, it's Father Time is going to win every time. It's just no. You know,
very
there's no
so.
Competition for it. But wrestling is, you know, there's a lot of arguments you can make for time off and a lot of things because he's not that old, just like so many others that are lost. They just are going at a younger age than they should be, you know, and that's where Anvil is now, too. So, yeah, I think something may want to look into how we're treating these guys and the schedule we're making them keep so that something can be maintained for the future. So, happy trails, Anvil, and we'll, you know, go join, unfortunately, far too many people at the, whether you call it the big old Madison Square Garden in the sky, whatever you want to call it, Anvil's right. there now too, and that's just too bad for all the people that are up there. But that's gonna do it, Patrick O'Dowd, and then you're kind of, you know, quick little stop by, hang out with us for the one time of the whole month.
Yeah,
so you're gonna probably do that, and then you're gone again.
Yeah, well, I got it. Yeah, we'll talk it out. But yeah, it's a couple weeks. Get past August. We'll get into September, and I'll be back in the saddle.
That's right. So I won't say happy trails because I just said that for a dead guy.
Yeah, that's a little
that
heavy.
That just wouldn't be fun. So instead, I just do this.
FABULOUS.
And with Patrick O'Dowd gone, it is time to kind of sum up the show here and take things home. But, you know, I'm not a superstitious person, but I am a big fan of tradition.
This is the One Girl Revolution, Taylor Hendricks, and you are listening to The Greg DeMarco Show.
It's time to get off.
Greg DeMarco, I need you. I can't live without you. I want you right now.
If you're listening live or right after live, tomorrow is Wednesday, you can check out Serious Lowdown with Serious Brad. He will interview Gorgeous George, not the original, obviously, can't do that, but Gorgeous George of WCW and Macho Man Randy Savage fame. So please do check out that interview. It's a great story to tell, and it's going to be a great story for you to hear right here on the Chair Shot Radio Network.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Go out there and follow us at TheChairShot.com. Visit TheChairShot.com. I am at Chairshot Greg on the Twitter. Patrick O'Dowd is at Wrestling Realist. I got to spell it for you. It's WrestlingRealist. And, of course, at Denise Salcedo on the Twitter. For Denise as well, go out there and listen to her on the X-Pac 12360 podcast, which comes out on Wednesdays over on Westwood One. I told you she's big time. If you weren't listening to me, now you know. And, we continue to move forward. I mean it. If you're in Arizona, come out Friday night. Check out Sonoran Championship Wrestling. It's a great deal, and it's going to be a whole heck of a lot of fun. We'll see you next time. Keep on supporting the Chair Shot.
Makes a man? Is it the power in his hands? Is it his quest for glory? Give it all you got to fight to the top so we can know your story.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.